Wake up, this is your broadcast. Listen up, wake up, this is your broadcast. Tune into them vibes, we giving all that. You know school is session and we ain't giving no hall pass. So, wake up, this is your broadcast. Listen up, wake up, this is your broadcast. Tune into them vibes, we giving all that. You know school is session and we...
What's poppin'? No Advisory Podcast, powered by Power 104. It's your girl, Shy Boogie.
It's your girl, Ashby.
And the boy next door, the dude from Scooty Jerk at work. Patty!
Hey. So loud. Shout out the boy, CEO McClain, Merciless Got Makeup, E-Class, P-Fine. E-class. Feel better, P-Fine.
Yes,
P-Fine well. Don't feel well, so she not with us today.
Sick.
Yep. And shout
she
out.
Needed. Blunt and back shots.
She That's needs what she needs. Some
blunt
milk.
And back shots. She needs some milk.
It's a blunt and some back shots and a fetal position that's always going to fix you.
I guess.
If you're sick, you just, you know what I'm saying? Just get you, you know what I mean? A little Hennessy.
Yeah, a little yak.
No,
oh,
I still don't drink Hennessy, you know? But I do not. Also, lastly, Dita SG, our pocket size engineer. She's not on the Bizzoids today. One of the boys today, we got the boy, Holiday.
He would bring himself in with a
with a round of applause.
He was waiting for that. That nigga finger on the button. Right. 3 minutes.
Up like a motherfucker.
Okay.
That's all
well,
he knew he was going to do.
This is his board,
today.
So he should know how to fucking work it.
Got it. Nigga rigged and everything right. Just for him.
Facts. But ask what you got. Hot topic.
Hot topic. So hot topics.
Yeah, you got it.
And you know that we've been starting every hot topics up with some inspirational tweet because it pretty much goes from inspirational to shit show.
So it does, right?
This week's tweet of the week comes from Joel Barker. He's a futurist, and he says,
"Wait, hold on." What is a futurist?
He pretty much, he's a technologist type person.
Okay.
So he plans for things that we're going to later use in the future. Mm-hmm. Like something that he's planning now we probably won't use till 10 years down the line. But he's the brains behind a lot of that. Joel Barker. Y'all should look him up. Cool guy from St. Paul, Minnesota. Shout out to him.
That's why she know him.
You were a motherfucker from Minnesota.
That's why she know him.
Vision without action is just a dream. Vision with action can change the world. So y'all just remember that. All
clap,
your visions.
Clap, clap, clap. But can I get a gym?
Can I get a round of
a
applause?
Or
I mean, I ain't holidaying none, but can I get a round of applause?
Why are you getting a round of applause? He said it.
But I
We're giving a round of applause for the quote.
Yes. Okay. So, you know, if you got a vision, don't be afraid to take that action. I know that I was actually preaching this to myself because there's so many ideas that I have, so many things that I want to do, but it's about not just having an idea, actually putting
execution.
That ideal. Bring that ideal to life. So
faith without works is dead, sis.
Absolutely. I got to get better. Anyways, moving on to hot topics. You know, everybody is still talking about this Nipsey Hussle thing. I don't know if y'all heard, but one of the victims that were in connection with the shooting, he actually is arrested. Got arrested for being with Nipsey Hussle, and Nipsey Hussle is in a gang, and in terms of his probation, him just getting out of jail, because I don't know if y'all remember, Nipsey was bringing him clothes,
because
he just did finished a 20-year bid.
Right.
So the terms of his probation were he could not be around any gang members, anything like that. Well, he ended up getting arrested and is now in custody of the LAPD.
That's whack as fuck.
Right, it is
whack
as fuck.
That's corny as hell.
So,
I mean, it's the law, but still, that's bullshit.
So, a man, this is what TMZ reported, a man who was shot during the fatal shooting of Nipsey Hussle has been arrested for gang ties to the late rapper. TMZ reports police arrested Kerry Lathan, 56, at his halfway house for reportedly associating with a known gang member, which is believed to be Nipsey Hussle. He was shot in the back, and he's actually still confined to a wheelchair, so he's unable to walk right now, and he's set to get out pretty soon. These charges may be dropped, but it's like, I was telling this story to someone, they were like, I can't believe it happened. You can't believe LAPD is arresting somebody off some bullshit. Don't let them being empathetic all on TV fool y'all.
Girl.
These motherfuckers were still.
Absolutely.
They still on that bullshit.
Absolutely. Can I play devil's advocate real quick?
Go ahead, Holiday.
But it is a rule, though. You can't be around, like, if you coming out of jail, you can't be around other felons.
Right.
It's just true.
That's just like, if I got a felony and you get locked up, I can't come visit you.
But
I could
Nipsey,
never come visit you.
But he wasn't a felon.
Nipsey
did have some charges, yeah.
Oh,
well, but
okay.
He was arrested for being affiliated with someone in a gang. And I guess part of his terms of his probation, he couldn't be affiliated with nobody in the gang. And, you know, Nipsey Hussle is a member of the Rolling 60s. That's no That's no secret. But at the same...
Did she say that's on 6?
That's... No, I did not.
No, she
don't
said that's
me.
No secret.
That's on 6.
It sounded like it. Some gang shit right there.
Anyways, but it's just like, for me, I just feel like, you know, he was in a gang, but shit. He was doing good for his community. He wasn't your typical gang member, but I get it. It is the law and everything, but I just, that's fucked up.
They kill me with that. Hold on. It's like how they try to make a whole negative connotation and create this negative narrative behind, like they say gang, like the word gang has a negative connotation.
Right, exactly.
But organization, association,
exactly.
Board,
right.
Masonic
President.
Lodge,
right.
What's he called? A Masonic Lodge, fraternal orders,
right.
All these other things are organizations.
It's an organization. Klan.
There are organizations of people who have like interests, who have like goals, who are have a certain amount of loyalty and sworn oath.
Right, to their community.
Yeah, I mean, yo, you know what I'm saying? Holiday, you got spirits, you know what I'm saying? You got spirits, you know some folk, you know
don't
some gang members.
On the street
you know some gang members. You know shit they gotta go through.
Right.
I know shit they gotta go through. Mm-hmm. I know some gang members up north, you know what I'm saying?
But it's like...
It's not the organization that is the issue. It's the violence...
associated with it.
Yeah, it's some of the violence and some of the stupidity associated with it. But in most part, it's who else is going to be there for these young fellas?
But at the same time, just going back to the reason why these gangs were started, they were built on the foundation of something good. They might have turned into something once, you know, different gangs start happening and they start beefing with each other. But the gangs originally basis for them were for community. They were built on something positive and it's kind of turned into something
Black
negative.
Panther.
Exactly. Just like the damn police department. We could call them a damn gang if we're going to go there. So it's just like the term gang just kind of puts a negative.
Yeah. And then white people create a gang. They get guns, stock ammunition. They call them niggas a militia.
Right.
That's a fact.
Oh, where that word come out?
Right.
What was that word, you know what I'm saying, last week?
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
But,
you know,
it's unfair. You know, it's an unfair. Nothing will ever be fair in this society. That's what it is.
Until it's so much shit that has to be changed, period, in the whole justice system when it comes to blacks and justice, the justice system, because the shit's just all
wait a minute. I just want to get this straight. My man got shot by another gang member in the back, the one that's in the one in the wheelchair.
It was 3 people that got shot. Nipsey was the only one that died, and 2 other people got shot. They sustained wounds.
Right.
So
he
was one of the other guys that got shot with Nipsey. So yeah, the guy
he was in the same gang. He was
all of them. Yeah,
okay. Mm-hmm. And so
and he just finished serving a 20-year bid, and Nipsey was actually meeting him up there to give him clothes, hook him up with clothes and stuff. Because he just got out of jail. Yeah. That's what he's
ain't got no
on.
Gear.
He's on probation for serving a 20-year bid for murder.
Oh, wow.
So he wasn't supposed to, And
it sounded like he was like a hood legend. You know what I'm saying? My man Ike Money or whatever. The
right,
fuck
right, from around
just
the
came
way.
Home. This OG, come see me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put you on. I'm going to get your gear
your
right,
lace,
put some little money in your pocket. I know you're in the halfway house, but hold your head, OG. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put you onto this business, this new shit I've
like
learned.
The whole process is probably going to take no more than 30, 40 minutes, and it ended up ending Nipsey's life right there. Could have ended his.
Right.
Could have ended his, so.
That's wild.
Live every moment like it's
your
last.
Moving on. And so I don't know if you, if like your next thing is affiliated with the Nipsey thing, but
it's some bullshit. But no, it's
but
not.
Laura, I just want to say that how powerful the Laura London speech was. That was just I was
so
like,
powerful.
I was telling Ash I could not get through this funeral. I couldn't. I don't like funerals, so I couldn't do it.
You could get through it, Sha.
I couldn't. It's in terms of I couldn't watch the whole thing. I watched it in bits and pieces.
Well, it was a bit lengthy. Was it 3?
No, it was like 4 hours.
It was like 4 hours. It was long, but getting through all of the speeches and stuff, I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do all of it. And the part that tore me up is when his kids were on stage and
I
his
couldn't
daughter.
Do it.
Because I lost.
Day did,
I lost.
Day did his show? Was it Saturday?
No, it came on.
It was
on Thursday.
Thursday.
I've lost. Night?
No, Thursday.
No, Thursday.
It came on at about 1:00.
Yeah,
2:00.
You watched the whole thing. You be at work.
I was listening to.
What the hell?
I was listening to it, and you forget. I work in an office, so I can pretty much do what I want. But listening to watching his kids, being a person that's lost my father, just when I saw his daughter up there, I was like, gosh, that's just something that she's never gonna forget. But me and Shaw were talking earlier, I think what makes it a little bit easier for like Lauren London and just the rest of his family is the fact that he impacted the world in such a way that his legacy will be left here for life. So I think that gives him a little more peace and solace to know that he's a piece of him will always be with them. And what really broke me up was when she talked about his 2-year-old that will never know how much he loved him.
Right.
Because it's he's gonna forget that. He's right. A little baby. But right. The way he grabbed that mic, like, I got something to say.
Yeah, it was cute.
And that was Lauren's baby, right?
That's she Lauren's got the youngest baby. Right. Yeah. And then Cameron was his, I guess, stepson.
Previous child. Oh, yeah, Cameron is with Lil Wayne's son. Wayne's
dad. Uh-huh. Oh, gosh, when he got up there and spoke. Isn't so that articulate.
Cute? Yeah, it was cute.
It was so cute. You could tell that they shared a bond as well. So, but yeah, Lauren London.
Which one was the little boy that was like...
The dream?
With the poem?
Had the dream.
Yeah, that's Cameron.
That's Lil Wayne's son.
Uh-huh.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was like, hey, killer.
Yeah.
He's like, I had a dream. He walked up right behind me. It was like, hey, killer. And that's my nickname for me.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Like, what up, killer?
Right.
Just supporting them. So just stay strong, girl. You got a lot of people supporting you. You seen how they came for Kodak Black when he fixed his lips.
We need to talk about. Lord, have y'all talked about this already?
We have not talked about it because I already said I wasn't going to give him no more. After today, I'm not giving Kodak Black no more of my energy.
You just going to let him talk about you like that? Talk about y'all like that? You just going to let him talk about that?
He ain't never talked about me. If he talk about me.
You know what I'm talking about. He disrespected
me. He did disrespect me.
This is so crazy to me that we just talked about Kodak Black a couple of weeks ago, and what were you saying? Petty was
with the young MMA situation,
yeah. And he was like, "Oh, you have a vagina. Why wouldn't you want to be penetrated?" And you was on some. No. I mean, why wouldn't she? Why wouldn't she? You don't remember that?
You know,
no,
don't
I didn't
remember.
Say why wouldn't she.
What did you say, Petty?
When you get a chance, play that tape back.
We gonna roll that back. Let me tell you what. Well, first of all, to speak on Kodak Black really quick, I heard that his sales went down. What was on my lip? Something on my lip?
No, you said
Kodak.
Oh, shut up.
You surely didn't say Kodak.
She tripped.
Whatever.
Kodak Black.
Or Kodak Black. I heard that his sales went down 700%. So, hand clap for that.
Mm. Wow.
Yes, they did go down 700%.
Good. Wow.
So 700%. People have definitely rallied behind this whole cancel Kodak Black situation.
Yeah.
But what I think is just so ironic, so ironic, is that it took this. Kodak Black been fucking up for months.
Yeah.
For months. And nobody, all of it. And then what's even worse, what I think is even worse, just me, y'all know how I do, how I look at shit. Everybody is on some, he's disrespecting Nipsey. He didn't say nothing about Nipsey. He was talking about Lauren.
It is disrespectful to Nipsey. It's indirectly disrespectful.
But the problem...
If somebody talk about your baby, they disrespecting you. If somebody talk about my family, they disrespecting
me. My baby came out of my body. That's different.
It don't matter.
Lauren London did not belong to Nipsey.
It don't matter. It was his wife, though. Love.
No.
That's his wife. Ain't nobody gonna
affiliation.
What's crazy is nobody's looking at it as him disrespecting the woman. Is that you're disrespecting Nipsey Hussle. Girlfriend. That's how they're looking at it.
This is true.
And not to mention that rap lyrics
and he's been disrespecting women for months and nobody gave a fuck. Yeah, and nobody still gives a
that's,
fuck.
That's the, that's the difference, though. That's the fundamental difference.
Is that it's about a man. Yes, that's it.
And
it's
the funny thing about it, Game, you went off and you was just talking about, Game went off, he snapped, and you just went off about fucking
Kim Kardashian.
Fucking Kim Kardashian just a few weeks ago. So it's like... I think what makes this ultra sensitive is the fact that Nipsey's not here. And it was like T.I. said, if he was gone, he know Nipsey would have rolled as hard if, you know, they would have came for Tiny.
They
come for Tiny. So he was just looking at it more of a brother thing. But my thing is, Kodak Black, shut the fuck up.
Just shut up. Because you already fucked yourself up anyway.
I don't want to hear anymore.
I've been canceled the nigga since that. Even before Young M.A.
When he said that shit about Keke Palmer.
I didn't like Kodak Black before that. I didn't listen to none of his shit.
He was the one that said he doesn't date dark-skinned women or something. I'm not even dark skinned, and I just don't want to hear this ugly ass, non talking ass. Are you serious?
We don't want
fuck you. Fuck you. I don't fuck with him. Never fuck with him. What'd you say?
Let me draw the boat.
Draw the boat. Yeah, you seen that boat?
No. Nah, Kodak Black. They got a it's some shit that went viral the other day. Kodak Black was on a boat with a life preserver. And he's just sitting there with the camera, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's like, "Let me drive the boat."
Oh God, that's like how his mind works. Just
he's slow.
One extreme
Something
to the
is
next.
Wrong with him.
He is.
He's slow.
Yeah, so I'm glad
them sales went down. Stop disrespecting Lauren, not Nipsey.
It is
5 months from now. It might have not had 700% impact. Truth be told.
No, that's true.
But, you know, the timing in which he did it was just so tacky and just berating. It's like there's no class
it
at
was,
all.
Right.
It just made us seem like savages. You know what I'm saying? Because they made, I mean, even though his music, you know, you got to say, okay, directly, he played the music. The people feel like it's popular. So it's, he got popping because of the people. The people made him popular, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you understood, you interpreted who he was as an artist, as a person. You said, I like that. I'm going to support that. So then now you're in a situation where the disrespect of women, like Sha said, he been doing that.
Right.
Like that was a part of his allure. That's why people liked him, because he said what the fuck he wanted. He just picked the wrong timing. So it's not just about, oh, it's Nipsey girl. He's just by G code, by white people code, by class code, by grown code, by grieving people's code. It was all around bad. It's bad. It was just a bad time. It was just horrible timing. It was not good timing for nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it's more so about. It's not that Nipsey was, just as I would say, I mean, Laura London, I mean, she's had a stellar career, wouldn't you say?
She's
not like a Halle Berry.
But she's like one of them black actresses, like you see her and you're like, okay, I'm going to go see that movie because Lauren London's in it. Like, or Megan Good, that's where she puts me in the mind frame.
She named brand.
Yeah.
She is.
Black girl magic.
And it's a lot of actresses, black actresses that we know by face, mm-hmm. but are not named brand. Mm-hmm. And so that is powerful enough to say that. So it's not, you know, I think they carry the same amount of, you know, stardom and celebrity weight, you know. And
I think they brought out the best in each other.
Absolutely.
I think they brought out the best of each other because the Nipsey was, like we said, he was brought up by the streets. His music career was pretty much brought on by the streets. He sold his album out the trunk, sold his album for $100 a pop, and motherfuckers fucked with him.
Right.
Lauren London, she was known in her industry, movie industry. So when those two worlds collided, the people who didn't know who Nipsey Hussle was, who didn't really fuck with the streets, they kind of knew him through Lauren London. So it kind of put him on a different level. So I think they complimented each other well, and this is going to be a hard one for her, but she'll be okay. She has a lot of love around her. She's surrounded by love, and she can call Nipsey's mom at any time and get some of that.
Listen, that real knowledge.
And
yeah.
She'll be good after she hangs up the phone, because I didn't even know Nipsey, like met him personally. And a lot of what she said was just like, wow, it just hit.
It was beautiful.
It was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. Her spiritual level is just wow. Like she said, if she can feel this way, it's no reason why we all can't.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
We will. Uh-huh. We'll get there eventually. I just hope it's not one of those type things that, and I don't think this is one of those things that it'll happen when it's hot on social media for a while and then it dies out.
Oh, no, this is not one of those.
I think it's one of those things, even after a few months, people are still going to be trying to help. I think at least niggas is going to be like, you know what? I want to be remembered like that when I die. So let me see what I can do to have niggas remember me. Let me buy a strip mall.
What I could do to have niggas remember me.
Yeah, let me buy a strip mall. Let me buy a roller skating rink.
Yeah. Okay, well, Minnesota.
That one was particularly special because I think they shut that joint down, and it was a place where all the Crips and the Bloods they all skate there, and it was a true space. Like it was a what do you call that?
Safe haven. Like gang, it was a true gang safe zone or something like that.
Yeah, it was like
neutral.
Yeah, it was a neutral zone. Yeah, it was a neutral zone on that shit like that. But yeah, right on, right along. Then what you got?
All
right,
what else so y'all, some more bullshit.
Well, it's gotta be bullshit. Segue it a little bit, Bell. Is. Put some sprinkle, some powdered sugar on
it. No, ain't even no. It's not even no way I can make it any better.
I want to be excited to hear what you got to say next.
Nah, you don't want to be excited about this. It's that's some the whole bullshit. Point.
Radio. What is it?
So I don't know if y'all heard the DC police officers arrest a 10-year-old boy.
Bitch. Yeah, I don't want to.
Who they accused of armed robbery?
Oh, really?
The attorney general said the boy is totally innocent. Really, I don't know nigga? If y'all saw. Man, we need several.
You
know,
for real. Oh damn, Holiday, what the he's fuck? He's gone. You
we need several of those sound bites. Really, nigga. Really, nigga.
Right. Thank
so,
you.
So, a viral video has been circulating of DC police officers handcuffing a 10-year-old boy over the weekend, sparking outrage on social media. In the video, a woman is heard shouting, "He is not resisting. He is not okay." This boy reported that three children assaulted him at gunpoint and took his cell phone before running off. Soon after, the police caught the two boys that took the boy's cell phone, mm-hmm. and they were positively identified. Well, the 10-year-old boy, they came back and arrested him because they were sure he was actually one of the boys in the video. So the police come, and if y'all saw the video, the point of the video is actually him being arrested. And I mean, this is what I mean about black people staying on code, because this is what I like to see. Want nobody out there screaming, "Oh no, don't take my baby!" Oh no, what y'all? No, they were simply calm. Mm-hmm. They simply said, "Don't say nothing to the police."
Right.
Don't if they ask you something, don't say anything. Uh-huh. They politely put the boy into the backseat of the car. People on the outside were like, "Y'all are fucked up." They were saying their little comments to the police. It's all right. But this is what I mean about us staying on code. Because guess what? His mom is finna shoot the brakes off of the Metropolitan
DC. Because she should.
It was a false identification. Right. And they literally, it was because this boy, keep in mind, he reported the boys. He reported the boys. And then they, after reviewing the video, they said, okay. And then they said that the boy, he was 10 years old, he looked older than what he looked. That's because, first of all, y'all see a 5-year-old black boy, and y'all say he's 25.
Exactly, right.
So that's mistake number two. So it's just like, the shit is fucked up.
Is there a video?
Yeah, it is in a video.
Yes, it's a video.
Okay. I'll show you on the break, but it's some bullshit. It's some bullshit.
That's crazy. Oh, Barry. All right. They just arresting the niggas out the womb.
For real. They got it out for us. Shit, that's a fact.
They don't have fucking baby cuffs in a minute. They just gonna start making miniature cuffs to start knocking up black boys and girls. Moving right along. So in Miami over the past weekend, they celebrated the LGBTQ festival.
Okay.
Dwayne.
Whitley says
it. Knowing Kid Fury, he pronounced it like Dwayne. Because that's how it's fucking spelled.
Right.
So Dwayne Wade's son, Zion, had his own cheering section because he's gay.
Zion Wade's gay?
Yeah, Zion Wade, 11 years old. So he had his own cheering section, which I like the fact that he's allowed to be who he is, because not a lot of young boys at his age are able to experience coming out that way. Wow. The only thing that what would bother me is that, you know, Dwayne Wade is a public figure. I just wouldn't want to put my child's business on the streets like that. That would be right. Just because I'm not going to be able to take the criticism coming from everybody
exactly.
else.
Right.
That shit would drive me over the wall. So the fact that they're able to, as a family, come together and kind of support this young man as he goes through his journey is refreshing. It's definitely not something we see every day in the black community.
Facts.
So.
I mean,
that's a fact.
The thing about it is, what I say, the theme of the reoccurring theme of this show is timing, right?
Okay.
Timing. Timing is so critical.
What
when
you
do
mean,
things.
Petty? Elaborate.
Because Dwayne Wade just so happens to be retiring this year. This was his retirement tour. Season he announced it at the beginning of the season, so it's just like, man, you just had all of your buddies, you know, your favorite guys in the NBA, best friends, close friends, you got personal relationships with, kinships with LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony, guys like that Chris Paul, you know.
And so how does this affect any of that?
Well, it just kind of, I feel like some, you know, it maybe it takes away from his whole retirement tour. You know what I mean?
How?
How it could, I mean, in any possible way, like it's anytime you have a story that has a layer of another story that's totally different. It's sports. We were celebrating Dwayne Wade for all the years, 16 years that he gave to the
so
NBA.
So we're only allowed
like
to celebrate
that.
One thing at a time. No, we can't celebrate the fact that
don't
son,
get defensive. You gotta be neutral. You can't have a personal relationship to these people because they don't know you.
I don't have a personal relationship with the situation.
All I'm saying is the timing is. It's so coincidental, and it's fascinating that the timing of it is.
Well,
is
Dwayne right Wade cannot dictate the LGBT festival.
Look at
that's,
too many damn
that's
letters
been
for you
that's
to even
been
say.
Happening.
LGBTQ.
This festival has been happening 21 years. This just so happens this year it coincides with his retirement.
I just find it fascinating.
So I think a lot of people are more upset at the fact that. Him letting his 11-year-old go to this festival.
Go to the festival. He is a little young.
That was my only issue. I mean, I just don't think.
A little young to what?
This
so
was at
now
a
your
festival.
Ass on the interview.
What, no, a little too,
no, no, no.
Festival.
I'm talking to Ash real quick because she didn't include you in the last one, so I didn't want you to. I didn't want you to feel. You know what I'm saying? What? Why is it too young?
To go to this festival?
Yeah.
Because I've seen this festival, and it's like a lot of sexuality that's involved in this particular festival. Okay. This festival's been happening since the 90s. Mm. It's like it's they have different floats. I remember one year they had a float made out of dildos. And
oh wow.
It's just one of those things. You go on bars, you drink a lot, it's a lot of intoxicants. I just don't think it's a proper environment for an 11-year-old.
Now you
Straight,
say you remember this year like you was on the dildo boat.
No, I Close. Said I remember seeing it. Oh, I have okay, been to okay, festival. Okay. I haven't been to the one in Miami, but I've been to the one here in Charlotte. They had a LGBTQ.
Look at you.
I try. LGBTQ. I try not to offend that community. But yeah, I have been to a lot of those festivals, and to me they're like sexualized festivals.
Right.
It's not a festival a child should go to, whether they're gay, straight, whatever. A child should not be there, period. If you ask me.
So are there like sexual heterosexual festivals?
Yeah, they're just called festivals.
Like what?
I mean,
like there ain't no Freaknik. The only one I knew was like Freaknik.
And they bring a Freaknik back.
You lying.
But
they
ain't
are
no
Freaknik is this year. What is it, in June?
Really?
It is.
Are there
but
any
it's not gonna be as lit as it was,
no,
I know, in the 90s.
Are
I
there
wish I could have went in the 90s.
Festivals where men and women go out and publicly be sexual and half naked
Coachella
in the country
and not Coachella and
in this country in our
what
country.
Was the one that was in the 70s what was it called
oh you no, talking
I
about
mean now
Woodstock.
Yeah, Woodstock. No. That was
that was
white
for
people.
White people.
I think Coachella. I think Coachella.
Music in the amphitheater and shit.
I'm gonna have to say Coachella.
Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's in Coachella, California. Absolutely.
That was rather, but it was a lot of people there. It was a lot of business stuff going on.
Ain't
there.
No business stuff going on in Coachella. It's several stages with performers and them motherfuckers be in the desert getting high. And it's another festival
in the desert
that
getting high,
getting fucking dressed. Lit now, but at the same time they be out there doing their thing, and it's not really. I mean, any other festival where it's not labeled for the
gay,
yeah, people. It's pretty much a straight festival or hetero festival. So.
So those festivals are the most revealing and sexual.
Which ones?
In your experience.
What, the straight ones?
No.
the LGBTQ.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well,
so my homegirl told me that I'm homophobic, and I didn't know that. So I don't say anything now anymore.
You a little bit.
Am I? I never
you
thought
was,
that I was.
But it's just, it's not homophobic.
Nigga, how you know? You're not even a homosexual. How you know?
Because you would always say, I ain't with that gay shit.
Well, that's not homophobic. That just means that I don't want a gay woman hitting on me because I'm not gay.
But no, I know, but
that's
like,
not homophobic.
You would, you know what I'm saying? You like, it'd be events, like, you'd be, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
But I'm not gay, so I don't like gay things happening to me.
Me too. I get you.
That's not homophobia.
I get you, but it's
she says I'm homophobic, as in, when she says I'm homophobic, when I see a man do certain things, I automatically might label him gay. That is homophobia, that is. And I do that. So I'm gonna stop.
She said, "I do that."
Yeah, that's not phobia, because phobia is the fear of something. So I thought it was...
Yeah, I mean, but also, like, one of my biggest fears is dating a man for the longest and find out that he's down low. Oh, my God, I die.
Why?
Don't say that,
he
girl.
Might have been straight with you, and then after you, and he was like, fuck
no, what if
that.
You find out that you walk in, and you or you find homosexual text messages, or you find him in the shower with the man? Death.
Girl, you immediately. You got to get some sage. You
is
got
it
to
the
sage
same?
That damn energy
is
out
it
of you.
Worse than a female, him cheating with a female?
Yes, yeah. It would be to me. See, and that's homophobia. Why would that be worse? It'd but be that worse. Is a fact. Yeah. Wow. I've tried homophobic. To watch gay porn. I can't get into it.
What
I
about
just,
you,
I
Ash?
Can watch lesbians, watch, but no. I cannot watch two men have sex.
Ash, you watch lesbian porn?
No, I don't watch porn
lesbians
anymore.
Can eat pussy. So yeah. I do like lesbian porn for that purpose.
I don't watch porn anymore.
Really? Anymore. You know, I said I gave it up for Lent, but girl, Lent was too long,
no,
bitch.
It was too long.
I gave up porn for good. I haven't watched porn about a good 8 months.
What? Okay. Oh, bitch. I thought she was going to say 8 years.
No,
8 months.
Eight
bitch,
months.
You can still slip.
No, I'm not
you
watching porn.
You on it like that.
No,
yet.
I just don't.
Yeah,
I'm
but you just, why don't you? Why not?
Because I just feel like I was watching this video and this lady really said something that kind of hit home for me. She was like those, I'm big on energy. And I just feel like a lot of that energy. And I think I told you, Shaw, was my expectations in the bedroom were being too high.
Okay,
watching
yes,
them
yes,
porn.
Right. And that
so
is
I
the
really,
problem.
I really do think, like, psychologically, when you're looking at that porn,
yeah.
you're, like, thinking that's how it is, but it ain't.
But it
that's
ain't.
That's not reality.
That's
reality
right.
is the real when you're in the funk of the situation. So
right.
I just didn't like the mind games
right.
that was playing on me. So I'm just staying away from
I
it
feel
altogether.
You. I feel you. I might go on a little hiatus myself.
I said I was only going to do it for like 90 days and then it ended up
and
being
it. Because, you know, once you break a habit, you know, what it takes, 28 days or some so, shit,
yeah.
then it's not really anything after that. So I can understand that.
Yeah.
And that does become a problem. That's how, like, porn addiction happens when you try yeah. to bring, you know, what you see on the videos, try to
right.
bring that into real life and have those same expectations. So I kind of get it.
But I do that
but
shit,
I don't have
though.
Those expectations.
I
so.
Do that shit.
You do what?
I do that shit. I do.
You
I
do
see
what you
it,
see?
I do. Yeah, I do that
but
shit.
But
yeah,
you do. Your porn
no,
might be a little worse.
Because you remember, Shy, you remember that conversation
no, my shit
I had with you.
Well, to the bedroom.
You remember that conversation I had
from
with you
film.
About the situation I was in with the almost threesome.
Okay, yes, yes, yes. Uh huh.
Porn expectations,
right?
Like,
and
I'm
it wasn't
doing this shit.
Exactly.
Hell no, no.
See, and that's what,
no.
and that's I be telling niggas. Don't ask me. You gonna bring the bitch in here, and I'm
gonna
fight
be like,
her. I'm gonna be that.
Yeah, you need to tell that bitch she got to go.
It's not gonna
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I'm done.
How
I'm done.
It's
I'm
gonna go.
Exactly. I'm gonna be that ass. So I'm gonna like, yeah, you can bring her, sure. And then she get
right.
in here, and she getting that ass beat immediately.
Why you
got to go?
Ponytail, babe.
Right.
I got the Uber app. Why should I call you?
Fucking up.
Why you taking your earrings out, babe?
Right.
I like your earrings. They're cute.
Yeah.
Now I'm about to fight this bitch.
Right. Absolutely. So that's all I have for our hot topics. But
we went into a whole threesome situation. I thought hot topics ended 15 minutes ago.
No, that was it.
Well, shit.
But do y'all? I do want to ask. Did y'all see the video that they sent? That I think Ant sent in the group chat of when Couch Talk was here. And
yes, hilarious. Did you see it?
You talking about the pussy in cups?
No, so when Couch Talk podcast was here, they told a story about a show that they had where a girl, they had a guest on and the girl was being too flirty with the guy and they were actually in the studio, which was the guy's home. His girlfriend was there. So she didn't like how the guest was all touchy feely with her man.
Right.
And so she was like, you know, it was cute for a second. I'll let you do what you do. And proceeds to beat the bitch's ass.
You didn't see it. I'ma send it to
it's
you.
It's a video?
But I'll send it.
It was on Couch Talk?
It was on Couch Talk. They're going through litigation. So they're
well,
not
one
able
of
to post it.
Right. They're unable to post it.
They sent it to us.
The
two Couch Talk people.
Yes. The guy, his girlfriend.
Yeah.
His girlfriend beat up their guest, basically.
Oh, wow.
And when I say beat the
brakes
off
of her. Was it the big girl?
Her,
the bigger one, the big city?
No,
that's the co-host.
Oh, okay,
yeah, that's Sasha. Uh-huh, she's
oh,
the
wow.
co-host.
Yeah, so they both had a guest on, and the guest was the
I
one
said the
was...
bigger one, big city.
Yeah, she did say with the big city.
She is so
did.
Fine. I, swear, I don't
is,
even know
she
her.
She is gorgeous,
she
though.
She is gorgeous.
Yeah,
she like,
is,
her
uh-huh.
smile light up the room. I don't
she's
even know what the name
pretty.
Is, but I swear.
You never she's said anything like that about any of us.
No, but she, I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's just
no, I mean, no shade. She is gorgeous.
All you said was, the nicest thing you said about me.
I told y'all plenty of stuff.
Is
look
that
at my
family?
Smile don't light up.
Is what you say that my I look like I come from a bowling ball built?
Oh right. My God!
Like said, my family.
And
plays.
You always talk about my milk like my, or something. He don't ever say nothing good about me.
Oh,
and you
my
said I look
God,
like a '90s backup dancer.
And look at my smile.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Radiant.
I done said way more things about
never.
Y'all. I say one thing about her, y'all jump on me. All right, so.
Because you don't show us no love. So we gonna take a quick break.
Bullshit.
Don't do it. We gotta take a break. Sam, just y'all good, nigga, with $1 million plan. Small introduction to this Nipsey Hussle music. Plus money and bitches, that's the way that we do it. Look, I got $20,000 in my blue dicky pockets up at Fox Hill shopping. Rolex ain't talking or ticking, they slipping. We different, big digits. Blue Converse, nigga. Rich rolling from the dirt. Just banging my turf like Snoop did. Same color rag, just a new crib. Pull up in that old school. Me and Lil Shady Blue. Fresh about the county jail. They held us both without no bail. 10 stacks to my lawyer. Played out pussy. Please don't offer me no. Sex was a weapon, she could not kill a mosquito. Lil mama lost her grip. Pastrami round her pee hole. Nigga, fuck. I came from nothing. Shootouts in public, riding buses, buying Benzes. Overtime, I ain't have a mic. I was in that Chevy playing Savage Life. Niggas looking like I had it wrong. They bud, Nipsey Hussle on some boss shit, aka nigga born broke, gotta die rich. What they call you, where you from, nigga? Picture me rolling, tipping my chauffeur. Niggas look jealous, you gotta control it. Reaching my quota. All facts ain't no motherfucking threat, nigga. I ain't nothing like you fucking rap niggas. Make a quarter mil, no sweat. Last time that I checked, I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked. Turn 7 to a 14. 14 to a whole thing. Lord knows it's a cold game. Switched up. Another $1 million bill, that's just some regular shit. See my granny on the jet, some shit I never forget. Next day we flew to Vegas with my Puma Connect. These hoochies always talking about where my dick is. But if it's not in your mouth, then get out my business. A nigga real ratchet, I ain't wifing shit. Known to fucking cut it raw. Where I got cash and start acting like an asshole. Catch up, keep up, colors with the beat up. I be buying pounds, so no, we can't piece up. Rollie with the crown, bet you wanna fuck the king, huh? Lame ass, hating niggas take flame baths. All you really doing when you running your mouth is telling me where to aim at. Yuck, nigga, fuck bitches and fuck niggas. This pressure built up and it's probably gonna blow. And if we say go, then they probably gonna go. You vote Trump, then you probably on.
Yeah, we back. No advisory, man. It's your boy Petty P.
You already know it's Ash.
Mm. And your girl Shy Book still here because we did this.
Yeah.
Still in this bitch.
It's in this pee. Yeah, shit shower shave came back. Yeah, I mean, we back in this motherfucker. We just going to just bring it back in and close it out at the same time, man. We got the People's Choice Awards.
Word. We got DeRenae's prom. It's let me find the name of it before I say it
wrong. Yeah. It's the prom.
Sorry.
It's the prom dress giveaway. I know that's the gist of
it's
it.
It's the adult Easter egg hunt.
No, it's not.
That's with Miss Socialite.
That's Miss Socialite.
Yeah, we talking about DeRenae.
That's Miss Socialite. Shout out to Miss Socialite, too. Word, yeah. That, she has a great smile, too, as you do as well, Shabook, as
up.
I have been.
Fuck you.
Allegedly accused
He's
of not
saying,
giving you a positive
you
reinforcement or affirmation.
It's the DeRenae's event is called Prom Come True.
Mm. Prom Come True.
Yes.
Shout out to her for doing that.
That's
for
a
the
fact.
Hell yeah.
We are due there from 12 to 2, so we only have a little bit of time to get there.
Well, that's fine. Right. We can get there. And in that rain, and I hope them prom dresses don't get wet. Them should be
right.
Soggy out here today.
yes, like you said, Miss Socialites, adult Easter egg hunt is at Loftin' Cellar Uptown.
Oh, word.
From 2 to 7.
You know that's the all black owned restaurant.
It is.
Yes, it is.
And their food is fucking amazing.
Is
the shit is so good.
Damn.
Yes, their chicken and waffles
right now,
is fucking good as hell.
I'm probably not going to visit that one with y'all.
See if they let you get one on credit.
I'm going to look crazy if I...
okay, because you know we be looking at y'all shit. Like, who about to pay for this?
Yeah, right. I slide out on y'all.
Right.
We gonna
like
get
you always do, yes.
Okay, give me what I can get on the celebrity discount, nigga. Shit.
And then, yes, like you said, the People's Choice Awards. It has been moved, and now it starts at 4 o'clock. Mm. So again, another time constraint.
It moved to what? To where?
And it moved to
undisclosed
Fever.
Location.
No, it moved to Fever Nightclub. It's on East WT Harris, 8801 East WT Harris Boulevard, across from the Neighborhood Market.
I know what you're talking about. That used to be the joint. That used to be backstage back in the day.
Yes, it was back. That's what it was. Backstage. Never been there, but I know it was something else. Theater. Exactly. And it used to be a skating rink or something too.
The last time I was there, man, they had a shootout, man. That's what's up.
And so that's exactly. And so let me tell y'all this
Dead
morning
ass.
During my prayer this morning, I said, "Lord, cover this really event because it seemed like some hood shit."
Yeah,
I am not dying today. My friends are not dying today. We gonna have a good time surrounded by our people.
Shit, I'm second guessing this shit. Where am I going?
Yo, the last time, yo, it's on the corner. It's right like what you about to go to.
I remember the old backstage because that used to be the Mexican hangout. Right,
that's where all the Mexicans hang out now in that area. Yes.
Matter of fact, it's like walking distance from Fever. Fever, I think.
That's where it knows at.
I mean,
Fever.
Not Fever, but the That's Rack.
The Rack. I don't
remember
know
what
the Rack is.
Remember, Pretty Fine had a performance at that little club over there, right off of Lawyers.
Oh yeah, off of Lawyers. Right.
Yes, it is. Lawyers is right there, and Albemarle and Harris is right there.
When you walk on Lawyers, if you want,
I ain't walking over there either.
Listen, that shell right there where them little yellow things is at. Yeah. Right there, that shell is the Rack is right behind that.
Oh, okay, then if that's the case, then yeah, that's not a
that's
hard
shit
walk
close
at all.
As shit.
It is close as fuck together. If it's right by the show, then yeah, because I never been to the Rack.
Right,
I've been one time.
It's in the cut, like, and then it's like an odd space, like empty.
It
building
really is because
right
you know I went to the Rack, but I don't have
no
clue.
Idea. Like I know where I know how I got there, but once I got out, I was like, where the fuck was I just at?
The wonderful land of Oz. Where am I?
Right.
Like I know the area. Like CO.
I live over there.
It was dark as hell, so I really don't.
I was like,
that's why you
fuck?
Saying it's walking. I'm like, wow, I'm finna walk over there.
I just know about geography.
It's gonna be a good event. I've already prayed. Geography. Y'all know I'm close to the throne, so it'll be all right.
You close to the throne, all right? Your ass gonna be with Nipsey in a minute. Go to this motherfucking Fever tonight.
That's what we. Yeah, in closing, because that's what we were talking about earlier.
Good segue,
Petty. The prettiest of them all.
Yes.
So it's like with this whole Nipsey death and just the toll that it's taken on us, the world. How are y'all taking this? How are my friends? Because I feel like I need to check on y'all.
I'm going to go first.
Do you need a hug? Because that's...
No, fine.
Do you need a high five? Any love I can give you? Because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to give love.
Okay, we're going to do that off that's air right. with me. With this one, as far as that's concerned, I ain't just, you know, I mean, it's...
Are you scared of death?
That's a good question.
Are you scared to die?
I don't know, dog. I'm scared. I'm scared to suffer.
Yeah, I'm scared of the pain. Yeah. I don't
want
to die.
So
you want
us to pull the plug.
I'm a barrio.
I ain't scared of passing away. I just don't want to burn. I don't want to die in no fire.
So if you were in a coma or something, and they're like, "Look, he has no brain activity."
I don't want to be a burden.
Yeah,
on nobody.
Do me like, yeah, exactly. That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing. Life or death, I ain't want to be a burden on nobody like that. And I know certain situations, you know, you got to have, you know, you're going to have to endure. They're going to happen. But, like suffering, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to do no suffering. I don't want to get old, shit.
You don't want to get old?
Yeah, like I hit 50, man. Y'all got about
15 more years.
Y'all got about 13, 15. Y'all got about 12, 13
and I could go,
years.
And I could be
man.
Happy.
You good? I mean, I
don't
want to
be
like
90.
At that point, you'd have lived a good full life. Yeah. You know, that is true. I can understand that. I don't have to be 96.
If I'm like 60 years old, I mean, I just don't, you know, you guys have no idea of what 60, 70 year olds go through, you know, on a day to day basis. You know what I'm saying?
Just you don't need a nigga. Alive. You ain't 60.
I've evidently I've interviewed some, and
I mean, you got family
right.
that age,
family members.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We do too.
And you got
but
the
if
experiences,
you take care of yourself,
and you know intimate
right, that's
details.
Where I was
going. Right?
Because
so you got family members. Is this some shit that's going on with somebody in your family member shot that you's like, oh my God, that's hereditary, it's fucking horrifying.
Yes, Alzheimer's runs on my mother's side
it's
of the family.
It's horrifying.
Yeah,
how do you, so, right. okay, so like, you know, so, oh, but you did say you can see my point, you know what I'm saying? Because how does someone look forward to that?
Right.
Well, I think for me, I'm looking forward to whatever life has. I'm not going to say that I'm scared to die. Like you said, I don't think I will. My fear is seeing everybody around me dying and experiencing all that hurt.
That's true.
I would hate to outlive everyone and just be like, I'm sick of seeing my loved ones.
And you see that
die.
As you get older, you see all of your friends and things pass away. That goes along with it. That is a fact.
Yeah. It's like, you see it, like, you go back to the, like, I'm going to go, you know, I think I'm going to be at a 20-year high school reunion next year.
You're old.
Yeah.
Damn.
Right?
God damn. I'm the youngest motherfucker on. No,
right?
It's
but then what happens is, and you start seeing things, and you're like, oh, my God. And, you know, it's almost like it is depressing. Like, when I seen, I knew I was old when I was like, when I seen Snoop's son go to college.
Right.
I was like, oh, God.
Because that's
I remember when that nigga was young.
In the video when he was in the Ain't Nothing But a G-Thang video.
That nigga was like a college student nigga. Like, he was like 20.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He didn't go. Right. But the nigga was college age.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, damn. You know, when you see niggas like Lil Romeo.
Oh, God.
And you see with they own businesses.
Or like when you see like Kamora Lee's kids that you've literally seen since they were tiny babies.
Did you see the post that they put up of the kids from the Parenthood, the TV show?
Yes, and old girl had a baby. Reagan Gomez was at the,
yes,
the baby
shame
shower.
The fuck out of me. Because they were kids. Like, they were our age, basically, when we were watching the show.
Yeah.
But I was telling Ash earlier, I don't know if I'm necessarily, I feel like I'm scared of dying or scared of death because I haven't done everything that I wanted to do yet.
I got you. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So I was like, when I was telling my homegirl, like, Lord, please, I was praying, please don't take me yet. I got shit to do.
Yeah, yeah, I heard you say that.
I have plenty of shit that I still need to do. Like, I really do believe I'm going to bring wealth and all that into my family, and I still haven't done it yet.
Is it a scary thought of you to know that even though you feel that you haven't done everything, like, God's divine order, if you're dying, then that means you've completed everything you were supposed to.
That's what he
is.
That
is that anxiety for you?
It is, because it's like, well, God, well, what is it? What you didn't bring
like you had low expectations for me.
You didn't bring it up here, God. I wasn't done yet. Right. I wasn't done yet.
It's like God,
send
my
me back.
This must have been small as fuck, Lord. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Can
so,
you know.
Right. I feel like I had higher expectations, Jesus. I don't know why I'm here yet.
You mentioned something that was that stuck out to me because I felt like this too. You know, but you mentioned something that's profound. You said, I feel like I haven't brought wealth to my family, and I want to do that.
Right.
Do you feel like that's your responsibility? Like, other people in your family, they don't say it, but is it like when everybody looks around, you're like the most gleaming one, or the talented one, or the hardest working, or
not necessarily
opportunity,
not necessarily.
So why do you when you say I want to bring wealth to your family, is it a responsibility? That original question, is it a responsibility? Do you feel responsible for it, or is it just something that you definitely want to do?
Right. And so now let me say this: I have a huge family. So when I say bring wealth into my family, I'm talking about the immediate, talking about my mom, particularly, and my little sister. My mom's daughter, my mom's youngest child, and my daughter. That's how I'm looking at it as my family. I have a huge family. Not saying that anybody else can't get a piece of the pie.
Right, but I'm talking
about who's closest to me. And in terms of those people, yes, I feel like I'm the ones responsible for them. Anybody else in my family, no, I have very talented cousins and all that that's out here working and that's doing the fucking thing. You know what I'm saying?
Got you. And so also, with that said, I liked it because I noticed that like in our personal lives, we kind of round things out. It's a lot of gray areas, it's a lot of fluff. Then when we go to work, it's all metrics. It's all numbers, right? And you wonder, okay, why is everything going to sabermetrics? Because of the easy attainability. Like, you can plug somebody in. If you have a systematical process, you can plug anybody into a situation, apply those principles of that process, and achieve the goal. Right?
Exactly.
Okay. So with that said, what is, I like to like talk about details like that. What's a dollar amount that you feel that you would make that brings that wealth level into your family or your immediate family?
Ooh, that's a good question. But you know what? Even when, like, so when the Powerball and stuff comes out, which I don't play, but then you see it's like 80 million or whatever billion of them. I don't need all that.
I felt complacent. My niggas had me thinking, like, I watch Eric Thomas and that nigga make me think I'm horrible.
Okay, like, out of my dreams ain't big
enough. Like, yeah, like, I ain't dreaming big enough. Because, nigga, that, I need, like, you give me, like, 20?
And I'm good.
See
ya. I could do like, it. Listen, tell you now, if you give me even $10,000 right now, I bet you I won't ask for nothing else.
No, I'm not going to say that.
Because I know what I'll do with the $10,000. You see what I'm saying? Like, when you get to a place of financial literacy, you don't need a whole bunch of money to start.
Right.
You just need a little seed, and that seed will grow. Right?
With me, my whole mindset is, give me all the shit, right? And I'll plant the little seed to make the little shit grow, but I'm going to live. I'm not, because I put, you know, I feel like I don't work like 30 jobs, man. I put so much work in, like I earned a little skate off. You know what I'm saying? A little skate off. Like, oh, then shut up.
Trick out this little million. Yeah. Ain't none.
Yeah.
Right. What you think, Ash? You ain't say nothing yet.
I already know my figure, and I need $100 million.
Whoa!
And it's $100 million because I'm...
Whoa!
That's a lot of money,
Ash.
When I manifest, that's what I ask for.
You want $100 million. Okay. What are you going to do with $100 million?
So I didn't get to ask you. So yeah, but that's the same question. That's the number that you feel like you got to bring into it. And why is that like a number for you?
Because I've estimated the things that I want to do, because my dreams are huge. Like, yeah, I have big dreams that I want to do and things that I want to create. And on top of that, thinking of if those things fail or things like that, fallback money, and on top of that, having money to be able to pass down to my family that's not included with my work life or anything like that. That's just my figure that I come up with, and I'm
sticking by it.
That's
a lot of money.
That's what's up.
Stick by it. That's just a lot of money. Sure. I ain't never thought that big.
Because I mean, to me, you know, happiness is not directly tied to finances, so that's why my number is not that big as well, you know, because... it's cliche. Fuck it. To whom much is given, much is required. But it is real. That's a real thing.
I've experienced that shit. Ask that I don't receive the money. I don't want to receive it in death. I don't want to receive it as a way through court proceedings. Right. I want it to be from that pocket to my pocket. No strings attached.
Right. Well, you know what's... Well, first, let me back up. So I don't need $100 million. I said, even if I get like 10... $10 million, but like between 1 and 10 million, I'd be good.
Yeah, you know.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what's gonna happen to me is one day it's gonna be like a whole African somebody is gonna come knock on my door.
That's what's it. Oh.
And so you're gonna open it, and they're gonna be like, "You are the final heir to somebody strong." Mm-hmm. And then boom.
She gonna move to Zamunda and live happily.
Yeah. She thinks she gonna take the Prince of Zamunda.
No, they're going to tell me, "You either have a choice. Either you could come and reign, or we can give you this money." I'm like, "Oh, y'all can give me the money."
You do remind me of Patrice, though, in the movie.
She always gets the good ones.
Yes.
I'm Lisa all day. Okay.
That's wild.
That is stupid.
But yeah, $100 million. That's
what you need, holiday? You over there?
Am I lowballing or something? Because
you don't even need a million.
I can get. Give me like 300,000. You know what I'm saying? Give me a third.
But for the rest of my, because
in my mind, with $100,000, I can go to the bank and get more money and make my money work for
me.
And then I'll be scared of having that much money and fucking it up.
Right.
You know what I mean? That'll be my, what the fuck am I going to do with, you know what I'm saying? $80 million, like you know what I'm saying. For one, they gonna take half of it. You know what I'm saying.
So you
the government gonna take half of it.
You gonna get about 49
out of 80.
Yeah, out of 80.
You gonna get about
they take half. Yeah. Uh-huh.
But then what the fuck? You know, I want nobody. You know what I mean? It's like having that much money is gonna bring me so many other problems that I'm not really gonna. I feel that I'm not gonna enjoy.
It's not just. I don't even know if it's not like a male mindset, but it's like yo. To whom much is given, much is required. All that shit.
Right.
All that shit will cost some shit.
So to
where do you put it?
So to piggyback off of that question, though, to bring it back to what the real topic was when in terms of Nipsey, you know, the hashtag is the marathon continues. So the responsibility would be when you get all of this money is to put it back into our communities, especially our black communities, and start building on black businesses. And not even just businesses, but we need grocery stores.
They're not
we
gonna
need
let you
hospitals. We need all of that.
What do you mean let you? They don't have to let you. You can go down money to the get your own LLC and make your own, exactly. Make your own thing.
So let me finish the question, though. So you get all of this money, what are y'all doing with y'all's and to give back to the, like, to continue the marathon, basically, I guess.
My whole plan, whenever I get any large sum of money, the first thing that I do want to do with it is give back to the black community. And I want to start off by enrichment programs for the kids, because my whole thing is I just feel like the adults, y'all are fucking lost cause. I'm actually done with y'all.
Right.
So I'm going to focus on these kids.
On the
and
children.
I'm,
right.
I want to create enrichment programs for all over America, because seriously, well, keep that playing in the background. These kids need it right now. I'm so sick of seeing these kids at the malls outside with nothing to do. We need enrichment programs. I would focus on that.
To make it easy.
Let the children laughter. That's what I would do.
Remind us how we used
STEM schools, to all of that. Let these kids be able to see things, because sometimes you have a kid raised in a particular community, they probably
never really had the opportunity
to think outside, just
it's
because
really
they don't think it's possible.
It really is.
And
a fact.
Unfortunately, it is to say a lot of things are not possible for these kids, but if you take the time to show them,
that's
you
all
never
it
know.
Takes a lot of times
you
is kind of one person
to shift the
it
whole
is.
Thing.
It is. Go ahead, Peggy.
I would have like a transient enrichment program. See, when I was in college, me and my homeboy started this group called A Few Good Men, because I was a foster kid.
I heard of A Few Good Men. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And so what we do is just go to local, it was a program where we go to local high schools and basically be mentors to the athletes that were kind of, that had either attitude problems or academic issues, mm-hmm. things like that, or they just weren't meshing well with the whole school environment. You know what I'm saying? So we would kind of mentor them, show them that it was, because it was always this, in our community, in the black community especially, it's always this, this thought process that the people that do the right thing are corny and the thugs is cool, right? And so, like, when I was in school, and it still exists to this day. Now it's flipped a little bit more because you got the, it's so much cross culture mixing and things like that. You got kids that, you know, he might look like a hipster, but he raps. So, you know, it's so much now that you can't, like take for instance, these Anomaly. What's the guy's, the rapper's name? The white guy that, with all the tattoos on his face. Post Malone. You can't judge a book by its cover, mm-hmm. by its cover anymore. But I think creating a platform where you can give kids, like y'all said, the biggest part is the lack of resources and the lack of them seeing things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm somebody who traveled. I've lived in New Jersey. I've lived in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I've lived in rural areas of Pennsylvania. I've lived in Northern Virginia. I've lived in Florida. I've lived in Seattle. I've lived in Tempe, Arizona. I've lived in California. I've been all these places, and they all have their own regional cultures. People from D.C. don't sound like Baltimore. People from Philly don't sound like Maryland. You know, they don't sound like New York. And there's cultures in these areas based on whether it be the geography of it, whether it be the mindset, whether it be history, all these things like that. Just like, you know, back in New York, where you from, Shy? You know, it's certain things that you say about New York. It's more culture than here. Mm-hmm. It's more this, the food, yes. the this, the that. The kids that are exposed to those things, or the kids that are not exposed to those things, I would create a transient program where it would almost be like, to me, America is like other places' countries. Like a state, each state is another country. Mm-hmm. It's a whole nother like format, the way the roads go, the laws, it's the Commonwealth here. This is, you can carry here, can't carry here, can't do that there. It's, you know, it's sodomy to have sex, doggy style in the state of North Carolina, South Carolina, certain shit. You ain't gotta inspect your car. Georgia, you ain't gotta do shit here. Florida, you ain't got no fucking state tax. This place, you ain't got nothing. You know what I'm saying? stand your ground laws. It's a different culture. What I would do would be create a program where kids would be able to travel and experience different areas for a week or a day, because that shit helped me growing. And even as a kid, going to these different camps and different things like that, I would go for sports, but I would create it for more things like more niche interest, you know, engineering camps, to travel, you know, to go to Tennessee and Vanderbilt and for a week, things like that. That would be something I would love to do. And that would be something I'd do with my money, for sure, for sure.
That's what's up.
Because that I feel like, you know, after a certain age, you're going to do what the fuck you're going to do.
Regardless, so if you're going to
invest your money, you might as well invest in the future.
And that was my answer. No,
you fine. Go ahead.
My answer was going to be technology. Mm. You know what I mean? Something and something with involving these kids. And nowadays, these kids are learning things, and they're picking up much faster with these phones and these apps.
They swipe
right,
it.
Right.
They got it.
Scrunching and shit.
So I would do something with the future as far as technology, and then actually break it down in different departments, because the medical facility, you know what I'm saying, and the government has all these advanced things, and, you know, even medicine, they give you pills for this and give you, it ain't nothing but to make money. Mm-hmm. So why not put our black culture in the same pot as these other people? But we have to build that way. You know what I mean? To get to that way, we have to, so I would start a firm that would take on different projects where these kids were, you know, developing and coming up with things and kind of putting the money behind it to make it real.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Future wise with AI technology, or, you know what I'm saying, advanced future medicine or something like that, or, you know, an instrument that might suck cancer out your marrow, your bones, or some shit like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just something futuristic that we might not be thinking in 2020 that, you know, in 2030, you know what I mean? I'm advanced already. You know, something that we might have got done in 2030 if he was going down these lines, but we got it done in 10 years or something with these group of kids that I've been working with him since he was 14 and now he's 24. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Something like that. That's what I would do.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be with the kids, the younger generation, because, you know, it's just like, you know,
are screwed.
You know, you've been corrupted. You know, you've been corrupted by the current, right?
The thing with adults is, you know, we're not willing to unlearn a lot of the bullshit that we've learned over the years. Mm-hmm. We're not willing to unlearn that stuff. And a lot of stuff we do have to unlearn. We have to forget about the way that you might have been brought up, because it might not have been good. Like, you always hear people say, oh, my mom did that to me, and are you all right? Because I'm looking at you. You need therapy.
You know
you
what?
Need therapy and some vegetables and water.
And you're not all right.
And
I can appreciate that, Ash, because I feel like we the first generation that's finally like, you know what? Fuck breaking the cycle.
Absolutely. And isn't it wonderful? Isn't it refreshing to see?
It is.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, too, with seeing so many people around me doing it, it made me realize how toxic some things were that I learned kind of growing up.
Yeah.
You know, never going against my parents. I don't think that I had a terrible childhood or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? But it's just a mental thing, things that I have to unlearn, basically. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It's just such a renaissance right now.
It is. And I love it.
It really
is.
It's like a 10-year renaissance between, I would say, 2010 and now.
Yeah.
2020.
Because that's when the recession and all that was kind of just.
Yep,
yeah.
So that's real what they sell.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just thinking that 10-year period.
Like that American dream thing, y'all's a motherfucking lie.
Right. Lying.
just think of how many people died from 2010 to now. Mm. All the icons that died. All the scandals that happened. And how things change. Even the sexuality as far as the LGBT and all that evolving into a whole thing. You know what I'm saying? That evolving into a thing. Pulse, remember that when they got shot at Orlando,
Florida nightclub,
that stuff hadn't happened yet,
right?
That happened in like 16, 15, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you got so much that has happened. Just take a 5-year snapshot, take 2015 to now, and it's just such a renaissance. And I would think, as far as, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, everybody that has died, that have become martyrs to the movement, and it's just we're gonna look back on this period in time. I'm telling y'all.
Oh, absolutely.
And look back
like
in
our
on this
parents
period
look
in time.
At the revolution, like the Black Panther period. That's how we're gonna look at.
And you
this
be
time
telling
time.
RJ, oh no, RJ gonna be telling a story. My mom was
oh, my
we
mom
was
so
pro black. she was in Charlotte that time. We was doing this thing, and she was doing a podcast, and they're going to be proud. Yeah. You know, your kids, y'all kids, you know, baby girl, she's going to be proud. You know, you'll be like, yup, I used to pop my titty out right on air. Boop. You
my
know, the story going to get...
That my mom kid show, yeah, when they first started, she used to breastfeed me, right? Breastfeed me
on the podcast. Speaking like, you know that's going to be a story.
Breastfeeding real quick, just to segue. Thank y'all for bringing that up.
We got wrap
and to continue
up,
the
y'all.
Marathon, yeah. Of course, because this also goes in, you know, the supporting black business and all that goes across the board. So, Johnson C. Smith is starting their breastfeeding counselor accreditation. Starts in the fall
That's
of
good.
This year.
That's dope.
So there are only 5 black lactation consultants in, if not North Carolina, then across the nation. It's only 5 black ones.
Wow.
And you know, like I always tell y'all, black babies have the highest rate of death.
Mortality.
So, yes, of mortality. So... this is very exciting. Johnson C. Smith is an accredited program. Starts
Shout
in the fall.
Out to Johnson C. Smith.
Shaw will be enrolled.
It's gonna
to
be
get this license.
Yes.
Yes.
It's gonna be 6.
Yes.
Black.
It's gonna be at least 6 along with my classmates.
Right.
Let's get it.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's
so let's keep it going.
Is it just me or I'm thinking that Johnson C. Smith gonna have an influx of big titty enrollment.
You don't need big breasts to breastfeed.
That is a myth.
But you damn sure can't do it with no Reese cups.
Yes, she can. Milk. Milk knows no bad.
That's right. I breastfed.
You had to put the foot on your shit.
Titty committee can.
You had to put a catheter in your titty to
Fuck
feed
you.
Your child.
Fuck you. He said a catheter. Fuck you, Teddy.
Anyways.
This
so
nigga.
Y'all.
Slim fast.
The award winning podcast has got to wrap it on up, y'all. We got awards to get and shit.
Oh, shit.
Right. Hello,
let's go pick
win
up
em.
Our trophy. All
right.
All right, let's go. Power 104.4 FM. It's your girl Ashby.
Your girl Shy Boogie.
The boy next door to do. Excuse me, jerk that word.
Out this bitch.
Bang.
You're gonna cut me off with them buttercup titties.
Shut up.
You're gonna cut me right on the off. I'm trying to get through my thing.
And all that, you know, school session, and we ain't giving no
table of course with no advisory. I made with a talk. Get a plate in the fork with food. We give away to your thoughts. Ain't a thing to get off. Topic of the day, who the boss? 3 to 4. We online like we came to the mall, so I'm on that.